This is lesson 10, which the title of which is Acknowledging God After Salvation. Let's confess our sins so that we will be in fellowship and controlled by the Holy Spirit so He can teach us as we go through this lesson. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. Thank You for forgiveness of our sins, that whenever we fail, we can come to You and simply name or cite our sins to You. And if our hearts really are sincere in that confession, You will forgive us and cleanse us from all sins. We thank You for that. Now that we have confessed our sins, we are assured that we are controlled by the Holy Spirit. We're always indwelled, but not always controlled because of sin. So we ask now that the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit, which is fully operational because of confession, will teach us now so that we will benefit from this lesson. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, acknowledging God after salvation. Now, this is the last lesson in chapter 2. The acknowledgement of God that we studied in the last two lessons comes down to this for us, because we are believers. Believers are to acknowledge God as they go through the day and through the week. They are not to go out and go to church on Sunday morning and get some lesson or inspiration and then go out and try to live. They are to be aware of God throughout the day, at all times, and the night. And God should always be close by, and we should always be conscious of His presence. And that's what this lesson is about. After we have been born into the family of God, we have new equipment for relating to God in our daily lives. As we have noted before in the previous two lessons, God makes special provisions available to us so that we can live in ways that please Him and give us full lives. Those two things. We want to please Him and we want to have lives that are full and meaningful. His assets for living exist not as certainties, but as potentialities for believers. Now, this is overlooked a lot, especially in churches today. These assets will always be available, but you see, they are given conditionally. I'm sorry, they are not given unconditionally, which means they are given conditionally. We will always be saved, but we may not always look like we are. Our performance as Christians is based on our fulfilling certain conditions that make God's enabling assets available to us. Notice I said enabling assets. This is what we're going to be examining throughout the remainder of this course. We will address the question, very important, how is the Christian life lived? The title of the course is Bible Basics for Living. These are essential foundations. So we want to know how the Christian life is lived. For starters, we want to acknowledge God now that we are believers, so that we can establish a baseline for our thinking about Him. To help us do this, we're going to introduce the concept of fear of the Lord. Now, when I first heard that term, I was kind of taken aback and I didn't put a lot of stock into it. But fear of the Lord is a very important concept. And it doesn't mean what it seems. Fear has a little different meaning here. It means acknowledging God in a spirit of reverence and awe. It's not defined as terror or fright as it relates to God, even though sometimes it borders on that, but as honor, submission, and faith. We acknowledge God as God. Fear of God is the process of a believer opening up the eyes of the heart to see God. It is a basic attitude of God consciousness, which will grow as we progress through higher levels of understanding and maturity. And one of our primary objectives is to mature, which is a process of building our faith. Fear of the Lord presets the conditions for progress and prepares us to learn. You see, we show reverence toward God, and as we do, we become open to hearing His word and to learning His ways and to allowing Him to make us productive. With this reverence, which is really a kind of faith, it's a kind of mega faith, it's a kind of serious, deep faith, and with this reverence toward God, we're going to have greater resistance to sin. And this is one of the advantages of the fear of the Lord, as we often phrase it. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, "Let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit." And then I added the words, "which is done by," and then the verse continues, "which is done by perfecting holiness out of reverence or fear for God." Exodus 20:20 confirms this, saying, "God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning." So you see, if you're conscious of God, you're going to tend to resist sin. Proverbs 16:6 adds another assurance of this. "Through the fear of the Lord, a man avoids evil." So reverence for God reduces sin's power in a believer. It is essential for a new believer, or if it's a believer that has departed from God or stepped back from God, for that returning believer to take the time early on and from then on to reflect on the qualities of the infinite Creator and ultimate Sustainer, to contemplate His being there with us, beside us, and in us throughout each night and day. He is there, and we will be greatly strengthened as we acknowledge His presence in our lives. The thing that we seem to recognize first when we fear God, this is such an important concept, is that He is bigger than we thought, and we are smaller. When we truly realize this, we're going to discover that we are mostly helpless, and we must depend on His strength to live in meaningful ways. This is why we must pay very close attention to instructions that show us how to access His strength. And these are the instructions that we're going to be probing. How to get the power of God operating in our lives. You see, we have been chosen for a part in a play called The Christian Life. And now we need to study the script to understand our part. And that's what we're doing. We have some questions for you. Number one, God's assets for living exist as what? Number two, what is the main question we expect to answer in this book? Number three, what does fear of the Lord help us to resist? Number four, when we fear the Lord, we recognize that He is blank and we are blank. I have some excellent scriptures, which I've added on at the end of the lesson. Most of these reflect on the concept of fear of the Lord. Psalm 86:1, you are my God. Proverbs 3:6, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. That's one we've seen before. Psalm 19:9 says, the fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. Psalm 33:18 says, but the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love. Hope again, as we've seen before and we'll see again, hope is faith. So when we have faith in his unfailing love, then our eyes will be upon him and we will be fearing him. Proverbs 19:23 says, the fear of the Lord leads to life. Then one rests content, untouched by trouble. That's powerful. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Please remember, we want to learn how to live in awe of the Almighty God. This attitude of reverence will prepare us to acquire the spiritual assets we need to make our lives meaningful and fruitful. And that's the end of part one. And I want to leave with you three major points or concepts from part one. The first is, and this is what these are things that kind of wrap up the chapters and lessons that we've seen in part one, which deal with God. The first summary item that I want to provide is this: God is infinitely huge, but loves each of us personally. The second point is we are small. We are not God. And the third point, we acknowledge God when we are saved and go on to acknowledge him after that time as we grow in grace and knowledge. Father, we thank you for this lesson. We hope that we will be cognizant of you as we proceed through this day. Remind us to think about you and to remember your love for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.